November 4th, 2015. It's about quarter after 11 in the evening. I've been meaning to get some notes down, and I just kind of chilling a little bit tonight, and I'm getting ready to go to bed now, and I wanted to go ahead and grab just a couple quick notes. Today, I was thinking about consciousness. I think basically what I formulated was that at the very moment, the very instant that consciousness became self-aware, at that very instant it became fully aware and awakened to its own potentialities, including the potentiality or most especially the potentiality or the potential, the ability to create. And it was at that instant, that moment, that the Big Bang happened, that consciousness expressed itself in materialized consciousness. And of course that means that our existence is the result of that expression. So I talked about the breadcrumbs, about how consciousness in the physical, in this materialized state, there's so much to distract us from becoming fully awakened and fully aware of our presence, of our, I don't know if I want to call it the divine presence, but the fully awakened consciousness. That's really what I'm approaching. And what I had likened it to was Hansel and Gretel. When they entered into the woods, they left the breadcrumbs so that they could find their way back out. So, the way the story goes, unbeknownst to them, as they were leaving this trail of crumbs, the birds were coming down and feeding on the crumbs, so that when it came time to follow the trail back out of the woods, the trail had breaks in it or was gone completely. Well, what I kind of felt like was that the birds coming down and taking away the trail of breadcrumbs is kind of like the distractions of the material world. You know, what I say is, it's not that I know more than others, it's that I ignore less. And so it's these signs and indicators or tells. In other words, the breadcrumbs are strewn all around us, but there's always the birds, the distractions that that tend to distract our attention away from them. And I think that even some people who at times kind of, you know, they sense that there's something to it, convention, I guess living in their comfort zone somewhat stifles their entertaining it, their inquiry or quest into it. So it's the way I kind of see that is, we have a certain, I think just like we have a genetic makeup, a genetic predisposition or a genetic state that we inherit when we're born, I suspect that we also inherit a temperament. And I don't know that that temperament really changes over the course of our lifetime. Many other things can change: our behaviors, our motives, our the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. There's plenty of things that do change, but I think there's more permanence to that temperament. So the reason I'm bringing that up is, you know, I was talking to Vicky about how it was somewhat startling to me and difficult to accept that the reason the world is the way it is because this is the way we choose it to be. If I look at it, you know, from the perspective of an amusement park, what that means is a lot of the things that happen in this world amuse someone. And that's why it persists. That's how it it's how it gains continuity. So, with the bookends of being sustainability versus extinction, and the two fundamental natures that I set forth being the avatar nature and the troll nature, again, these are the bookends. Many variations in between, but fundamentally, avatar seeks to inspire, and the troll nature seeks to conspire. And when Vicky and I were on our walk the other night, I mentioned that to her, that that's how simple things have become to me. And there's genius in that simplicity, and power. And so I had mentioned a few specific cases, you know, and I said, in which way, you know, the sooner you become aware, the sooner early detection is, you know, is the secret key. The sooner you become aware of what temperament that individual is, you know. And I asked her about a couple specific individuals, and you know, I said, "You tell me. Did they seek to inspire, and did they seek to direct and protect, or did they seek to conspire?" And to reign, you know, like a terror's reign, a tyrant. And that's how simple it is to me. But the thing is, this to me is the full range of consciousness. You know, it's all inclusive. And that's why the good and evil never really satisfied me when I was seeking how to frame it with the bookends. And again, that's why I came up with that's what led me to settling on or becoming aware of my perspective and being able to label it. I think that's really the main thing of sustainability versus extinction, whether or not this amusement park remains open and available, whether or not this remains a potential state available of materialized consciousness. There may be many others. I suspect that's quite possible. You know, I even have thought about event lines and branch universes and parallel universes and all that. But regardless of that, this is an existence. And, you know, as I said before, part of what I considered was, do I want, would I choose for this amusement park to remain available as an option? And, you know, I talked about reincarnation, about, you know, coming off the ride and there are people are giggling and they're excited and they're talking about how scared they were and how thrilling it was. Let's do it again. Let's go get in line again. Come on, let's go again. And to me, that's kind of, again, that's, there's genius in that simplicity. That's how simple it is about reincarnation. But anyway, as I was saying, where I really started with this was about consciousness and consciousness becoming aware of its existence, of itself, becoming self-aware. And in that moment, it was explosive creativity. It became aware of its creative potential spark gap, and it exploded into the universe, into the, you know, into creativity. That's what I'm trying to say. It was an explosive expression of its, of consciousness, of its creativity. I was going to say of conscious creativity. It was an explosive expression, and that's what became what we call the universe and our existence. So, but anyway, with all that said, the thing that really fascinates me about it is consciousness in this materialized state wants to become fully aware. That's, you know, when I talk about things like expanded consciousness, that's really what that's referring to. That consciousness, that pure, oh, and that was one of the other things I said. The reason, first off, the reason that as soon as it became aware, it was fully aware. And part of the reason is because it was pure consciousness. There was no distractions, no doubts, no, it was just pure awareness and, again, explosive creativity. And but the point is, it's just like, you know, I've heard it from I was going to say the Kundalini awakening, but however the different ways in which this awakening awareness, this expanded consciousness is labeled or identified or expressed, it's all about consciousness in the materialized form, in the materialized expression, becoming fully aware or fully self-aware again of its creative potential. And that's why, you know, I talked to Vicky the other night about we live in the gap between our current state and our potential state. And I believe in infinite potential. I believe in infinite possibility. So, well, anyway, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to capture. Signing off.